observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and Fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Good morning, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about the Constitution, which is the basic law of the United States. Now, we've got a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who hate the Constitution because it restricts their power, and they want the power to regulate your life and control everything that you do. In fact, there are actually people in Washington, D.C. who want a dictatorship. We know from history that they tried to establish one during the last Great Depression in the 1930s, and they actually tried to recruit Major General Smedley Butler to lead a march on Washington, D.C. and seize the government and establish a dictatorship there at that time. And there were other attempts. There was one during the Nixon administration. Of course, they didn't want you to know that. They don't want you to understand that our Constitution is the one thing that separates America from the rest of the world, that guarantees our Constitution, and the concept of the Constitution were based upon the Declaration of Independence, was based upon the fact that God gives us freedom, and that our freedom comes from God, and that to maintain the freedoms that were guaranteed in the Constitution that came from God. Governments were instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That's what it says in the Declaration of Independence, and that's why our Constitution was created, to limit the power of the federal government so people could be free. But you see, there are those who don't want any restraints. They want government to provide for the health, because after all, if government provides for the health, then the people will be loyal to the ruler who gives them things. They want government to provide paychecks for people and provide housing for people and provide food for people, just like it is in any feudalistic system. And we either will reject those concepts and cling to our Constitution, or we will reject them, and then, of course, we will be enslaved. This has happened throughout all history, when, of course, there was unbridled power in the hands of authorities, because men, by their very essence, are corrupt. That's what it says in the Bible. Too bad we don't believe in the Bible. Too bad they've outlawed the Bible from the concepts of our school children, and they've grown up a whole generation of children who don't understand our Constitution or what freedom's really about. So with that as a background, Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story of our amazing Constitution and why we need to rekindle a belief in that in the hearts of the American people.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's great to be with you and great to be with your guests. When we understand the Constitution, a little background is helpful to understand some of the history that transpired in developing our Constitution. Actually, it was not the first form of our federal government. Once they had declared independence in 1776, the immediate job all those delegates had was to return to their home states and create a state constitution for each of the 13 states, and then to return and draft what they called the Articles of Confederation, which actually preceded our Constitution. It was really much more of a compact among states than what we would call a true constitution, and its purpose is very plain: a league of friendship for common defense, security of liberty, and mutual welfare. One of the things it attempted to do is secure the rights of citizens from one state when they traveled in another state, so they wouldn't be treated as foreign nationals, but they would have their God-given rights preserved while they were traveling in a state of which they were not a direct citizen. It also structured Congress and restricted the states, saying the states could not do certain things. They could not make treaties with foreign nations. They could not maintain standing armies except as absolutely minimum necessary for defense. In other words, the militia structure was volunteers who were training on a regular basis but not employed as a standing army. And they had seen what standing armies did when King George III abused the power, and that's the problem with all standing armies. They tempt petty tyrants to take and use them for destructive purposes. And the states were to appoint all the officers of the militia. The state militias were really what if an army was needed, the state militias were the basis of that. The only officers appointed by the federal government, the general government under the Articles, were the generals. All else were appointed by the states. Now, the cost of the war, which was the biggest problem immediately facing them, the cost of the War of Independence, was to be paid out of the Confederacy treasury. However, that became a problem, as we'll see in a moment. And now the Articles of Confederation speak of the powers that Congress was delegated to them, and the Committee of States, that is nine states, could act when Congress was in recess. It was not a full-time Congress like we have in Washington, D.C. today, and they understood that's a safety thing. You don't want people whose business it is to just be about the government business all the time, as they're going to tend to create a fiefdom, and it's a dangerous thing to have a full-time legislature. So another interesting thing they did in the Articles of Confederation, they invited Canada to join the Confederacy and opened the door to them, which Canada did not enter through. And the Confederacy committed themselves to do the honorable biblical thing, to honor past debts. Debts that they'd entered into, they promised would be paid. Now, one of the final elements is unanimous consent of all 13 states were required for any amendment to that Articles of Confederation. And that became one of the limitations, one of the problems that was confronted by the Constitutional Convention as it met, because it was very clear they could not get 13 states to agree on any amendments to the Articles of Confederation. Now, some of the limitations, and some of these limitations of the Articles, we might look at and say, boy, that looks like a great thing to us in hindsight today. But one of the limitations is there was no chief executive. There was no president. And in other words, there was only one branch of the general government, the federal government. That was the legislative branch. There was no chief executive. There was no federal judiciary. So if there was a conflict that took place between one state and another state, and the courts of those states were trying to battle it out, there was no party above them that would be able to adjudicate between the two of them to mediate. So without a federal judiciary, it meant that there were certain issues that would arise in and among the states and conflicts that would take place that could not be resolved in a way that was acceptable to all. Now, the federal government also had no taxing power, which we might say, wow, that's a wonderful thing. We rejoice with no taxing power on the part of the federal government. However, the downside of that is that only voluntary requisitions is what Congress could issue to the states. You know, it could ask the states for a contribution, basically. And the states did not cooperate very well in this regard, and so we have our boys at Valley Forge during the War for Independence not adequately clothed, blood coming from their feet and so on. The biggest weakness, in a sense, was the ability to raise funds to fight that war.
Well, you hang on. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor David Whitney from History of the Constitution, and you must relearn the Constitution if you hope to maintain your freedom.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Just a good old boy Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the Constitution, which is the basis of our freedom. Do you really care about freedom? Do you care enough to learn about the Constitution, to teach people about the Constitution, to point out that the leaders of both the Democratic and Republican Party don't believe in the Constitution, even though they swore to uphold it? Certainly the president doesn't believe in it. All the things he's suggesting in the way of ever more government control over our lives and supporting the fraudulent financial system we have, they're simply in violation of the Constitution because he was put in by the people who hate our Constitution. This little clique, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, there are only about 5,000 of them. There are only 87 members of the Trilateral Commission who are American citizens here in this country. And yet 11 of them hold key positions in Barack Obama's regime. Could that have happened simply by accident? I mean, certainly, you know, if you look at the makeup of our government, you will always find people from the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the CFR. These people who want a world government and to destroy America and to set up a feudalistic system, they always hold key positions. So, you know, anyway, go right ahead, David, and try to let people understand really what a wonderful document we have, the foundation of our law. It's too bad that we don't use it anymore.
And
it is still the law of our land. Go ahead.
Amen. Because when we don't understand it and we don't enforce it, we the people, that is, don't enforce it, then the tyrants get away with breaking the law, which is what they're doing in Washington, D.C. almost all the time. Well, the Articles of Confederation, in addition to those weaknesses, had a weakness of no federal enforcement powers. Again, we might rejoice and say that's a wonderful thing, but what it meant is that Congress could make suggestions but could never enforce any legislation that they put forward at all. And then, as we mentioned, all states having consent to unanimous consent to any amendments ultimately meant that, historically speaking, the Articles of Confederation could not be amended. There was no way they could gather all 13 states to even agree to talk about amending it, let alone actually amend the Articles of Confederation. Well, they held the nation together during the War for Independence, but just barely. As I mentioned, funding for the troops and even Washington and his resignation, which he did here in Annapolis, Maryland, he pleaded with Congress to pay part of the pay that they owed to those who'd served with him in the war, which Congress had a very difficult time doing because they couldn't raise the funds to do that. And the problems that emerged after the war, though, became extreme and caused them to say, we've got to do something, and it needs to be amended, changed, or in this case, actually replaced by our current Constitution. One of the major problems was a combination of inflation and recession. This was due to the fact that they were printing paper money during the war, called the Continental. And this currency quickly became viewed as worthless. The phrase worthless as a Continental is due to that. And they discovered in this process that one of the dangers they had entered into under the Articles of Confederation was to allow the federal government to print paper money backed by nothing, fiat currency, just creating money out of thin air. Well, shortly, people began to realize this stuff is worthless, and they refused to accept it. So merchants wouldn't want the paper. They say, give me real money. Give me gold or silver, and I'll exchange goods. And so the inflation meant that they were printing this currency very rapidly, but at the same time, there was a recession. Economically speaking, things were disastrous, the worst possible situation. And Dr. Stan, you've talked about this in many other shows, I know. That's exactly what we face today, where they're printing money, just trillions upon trillions, as they've told us here in the past couple months, trillions of dollars being printed out of thin air. What's that do to the existing currency? It devalues it, which means you have to have more dollars to buy the same goods that that you bought the day before or the week, or we won't see the full impact of that inflationary disaster that's coming our way maybe for a year here. But when it does come, prices will skyrocket, even if our depression increases and gets worse. So they faced this exact same problem we're in today, and our founders knew that's got to be fixed. And they did fix it in the Constitutional Convention, because they said only gold and silver can be money in this combination of states in our Constitution. Now, Congress so was unable to raise the money by requisitions, and in addition to that, there were domestic disturbances. The one that comes to mind is Shays' Rebellion that took place, and it was very difficult to get help from the other states when there was a problem where, the militia was needed to take action. And there were states that treated one another as foreign nations, and so, you know, if you traveled from Virginia to Massachusetts, they might not respect your rights at all, and they might cheat you out of a business transaction, and you would have no recourse in the court system because you weren't a citizen of Massachusetts, you're a citizen of Virginia. They treated one another as foreign countries. In addition to that, there were border problems taking place among the states, as well as border problems with the English on the Canadian frontier up in the north, as well as in the west, border problems with the Spanish. So all of these problems led several people to begin calling for a convention to deal with these issues. During the war itself, Alexander Hamilton, who was aide-de-camp to George Washington, saw the difficulties, particularly financially, that there was not the funds needed to conduct the war. He wrote letters urging for a stronger federal government. And after the war, Hamilton actually persuaded his own state, the state of New York, to pass a resolution calling for and urging a constitutional convention. But no other state signed on, so it was just one in a voice of 12, and the other 12 did not respond at all. However, Hamilton had the ear of perhaps the most important American in that day, George Washington. And he persuaded him 2 years later in 1785 to write a letter to the 13 states urging a constitutional convention. And so the following year, 1786, Congress called for a trade conference that actually gathered here in Annapolis, Maryland. But the problem was only five states sent representatives to this trade conference. So they were just going to deal with a very limited aspect of the Articles of Confederation instead of looking at the whole of it. And as only five arrived, it seemed like, well, this is not going anywhere. But it did lay the groundwork for the following year, 1787, for Congress to call for a constitutional convention to be held in Philadelphia. And the date that was to start was May 14th. And the expressed charge that Congress gave this constitutional convention was for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. And so May 14th came around, and there were only two delegates from any of the states that had arrived. And so the convention actually could not begin until there was a quorum, and that was about the 25th. Of May. And so there was a little over a week and a half transpired between May 14th, May 25th, but it wasn't wasted time. James Madison from Virginia and others prepared what they called the Virginia Resolves, which actually became the basic agenda for the convention. It became very clear that Rhode Island was never going to participate, and they never did send any representatives. So in essence, rather than revising the Articles of Confederation, they had to create a whole new constitution. And many people criticize that. I've talked to a number of patriots who said we should have stayed under the Articles of Confederation. And I understand their arguments, and they would like to say that it was illegal for the Constitutional Convention to do what they did. But it was not. You see, what they were doing in the Constitutional Convention is each state had voluntarily seceded from Great Britain. They said, we're no longer part of it. We declare independence. Separately, 13 states each declared independence from Great Britain. Then together they signed the Declaration of Independence, but they signed it representing their each 13 states. And so each of the 13 states as a sovereign, independent political entity also joined the Articles of Confederation. They were not bound to stay in the Articles of Confederation forever. if they chose to, they could secede from the Articles of Confederation just as they had seceded from Great Britain. And that's exactly what took place in the history of the ratification process. One by one by one, they seceded, and ultimately Rhode Island was the last state that was still under the Articles of Confederation. Basically, it was a country unto itself at that point in time, and they decided wisely, well, it would be much to our advantage if it's just in terms of even trade for us to join and ratify the Constitution. So those who criticize our founders in the Constitutional Convention don't understand the history and the right that they had to secede from what they had created. They created the Articles, they could secede from the Articles, and that's exactly what took place as they met in convention from May 17th on to September of 1787. Now, it was attended by 55 delegates from 12 states. Rhode Island never participated. The delegates were the cream of the crop in terms of America in that day. They were intelligent, experienced, very educated. 31 were attorneys. There was 19 military veterans, 28 former congressmen, 2 college presidents, and 3 college professors, and several doctors and scientists. These were the educated of that day, the brightest minds America had to offer. And the delegates agreed on very core principles and values. And we basically find these in the Declaration of Independence, which you rightly said, Dr. Stan, is really the preamble to the Constitution. It states that the laws of nature and nature's God are the supreme law of the universe to which every nation must submit. Every law must be in submission to those. What are those laws of nature and nature's God? The first phrase refers to human conscience. Romans 2, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 describes this, that God has written his law on the hearts of every human being. The second phrase, the laws of nature's God, directly refers to the Bible. It was Blackstone that our founders studied, and Blackstone spoke of the revealed law, which is the laws of nature's God. That's supreme. That is what they sought to do everything. That is what they founded our country on. We were founded on a biblical framework and a biblical understanding of law and government. That's very clearly expressed in the Declaration. The second principle that all the delegates agreed on is that God has given to human beings unalienable rights. Not a complete list, but the first and three most important are life, liberty, and property. That those rights come from our Creator, not from government. And therefore, government cannot take them away. King George didn't take away the colonists' rights. He violated their God-given rights. And therefore, he was no longer fit to be the ruler of a free people. We have God-given unalienable rights. And the government is established by, there's a third thing they all agreed on, government's established by a covenant. That is, people voluntarily consent to create a form of government, and they give to that government limited powers. Just the powers they delegate to that government. And by the way, when they delegate powers to the government, it doesn't mean they lose that right, that God-given right, by delegating it. For example, one of the instances that is so confusing to many Americans today is the Second Amendment. It says that we have a God-given right to keep and bear arms. And if I have a right to defend myself, armed defense, I have that right. Well, I make compact with my neighbors and we decide that, you know, it would be useful to us so that we don't have to spend all our time defending ourselves, that we hire a policeman. And we're going to delegate to that policeman certain limited, enumerated powers, but only certain things he can do. He's not free to, you know, just come barging into our house anytime he wants without a warrant or whatever. He can do certain limited things, and one of the powers we grant to him is the power to carry a gun. Now, by granting him the power to carry a gun does not mean we've extinguished our right to carry a gun to protect ourselves and defend ourselves. That right was given to us by God. We could have never given the police officer that delegated power if we had not been given by God that right. And that's a confusing thing that many people today here in the state of Maryland, many other states, have all these really egregious gun laws that regulate guns and say you can't carry a gun, but the policeman can. Wait a minute. If the policeman can carry a gun and I'm the one delegating the power to him to carry a gun, why in the world can't I carry a gun? It's nonsensical. And yet it is the lie that many people have believed. And so they said the government is established by covenant, by this consent of the governed. We give government limited powers that we, the people, delegate to that government. And then the final two parts that our founders all clearly believed is that all people, rulers included, have a sinful nature, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the corollary to that, of course, is that people, we the citizens, we need order. We need a system by which sin is punished, and people are discouraged from doing that which is harmful to others, other God-given rights. But rulers as well need limits, because rulers are sinful human beings, and if you don't put checks and boundaries around the powers that you're delegating to them, they are going to violate them. They ultimately are going to become tyrannical. And you don't want to allow the sinful nature of those in public office to just run away, because they will abuse that power.
They certainly will. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network with Pastor David Whitney.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Danny Golden, Promotions and Sales Director for KHNC. I would like to encourage all of you business owners, big and small, to take advantage of our 1360 advertising special. Don't let this economy stop you from reaching those important customers who need to know your doors are still open for business. For $136 per month, you will receive our $525 three-spot per day special, or double your spots to 6 spots per day for $272. You won't find a better price. Call me today for our no-frills 1360 advertising special, 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576. And tell me you want that no-frills, tax-deductible, beneficial business package. I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest, Pastor David Whitney. And David, before we go on, I want you to get out your telephone number and your website so people will know how to get in touch with the Institute on the Constitution.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We offer an easy way, a turnkey way, really, in which anybody can help a group of people understand what our founders meant by the words they used in the Constitution, the Declaration of Bill of Rights. We call it our host kit. It contains 12 lectures by constitutional law professor John Einsmo, 2 lectures by David Barton, and a student manual with an outline of each of those lectures and some supplemental materials as well as test questions. That whole host kit is a turnkey way in which you can communicate these truths to your fellow citizens, your friends, your neighbors, people going to church with you. In addition, recently we have just offered an online version of that course. So if you go to our website, iotconline.com, that website again for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. And right there at the very top, you can click on online course, or you can actually click on purchase a host kit. But the online course will give you a sign-up process, send you an email, and once you receive that email, you follow that with the key, and then you can pay the $30 fee for our online course. And by the way, we're offering that online course. If you do then, in turn, purchase a host kit, which we hope you will do, then we'll rebate that $30 as a deduction from the purchase of your host kit. So we encourage people to take it online, familiarize themselves with the course, and then conduct a study group communicating these truths to other people. Now, if you want to call toll-free and order by toll-free means rather than by the web, our toll-free number here at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796.
And of course, once people understand our Constitution, then they're in the position to defend it and to point out what's going on and perhaps even to get involved in the political process. But certainly nothing can be done until Americans really care about freedom. And are we more concerned really about living the good life than freedom? Well, I will tell you, we're going to lose a good life. I mean, the world we've known before is going to change and change forever. And when we come out of what's happening now, 10 or 20 years from now, what sort of America will it be? Will it be a land where men can be free? Or will we all be subject to the state? At least those are those who survive. And perhaps those who survive will wish they had not. Anyway, go right ahead, David.
Well, as they gathered for the convention, there were certain rules that they determined that they would follow. And as they structured it, they elected a president, the one who would kind of oversee the entire process. And that was Washington, who was George Washington, was the most respected American, as the general who had led the war for independence and one whose character was just undisputed to be one of the best and greatest men. The fact that he actually resigned his commission was an astonishment to the world. In fact, King George III in England said if George Washington resigned his commission, that is, turned the power he had as the leader of this new country, he turned that power over to the civilian authorities rather than making it a military dictatorship, that he would be one of the greatest men in all of history. And indeed, many looked to George Washington in that same respect. Well, he did that. He turned it over to the civilian authority at that point under the Articles of Confederation, the Congress. And so he was chosen as president of the Constitutional Convention, and that meant all remarks were to be addressed to the president rather than to have a side argument between one delegate and another delegate or between one state and another state. They would address their comments to the president, taking some of the heat and some of the difficulty out of and also taking the personal attack that might be perceived in disagreeing on issues about the details of the debates that took place in the convention. That was a very wise way in which to structure it, that all remarks were addressed to the president, and that he kind of monitored debate. Actually, you look at the discussions of James Madison, he's the one that who kept the most detailed notes of the convention. We find that Washington had very little to say. He just kind of monitored and served as the umpire in how the debates took place. Also, to prevent false rumors, their proceedings were actually kept secret until the last delegate died, and that was James Madison himself in 1836. And his notes, as I said, are probably the best source of details about the debates that took place in the convention. And those notes, again, are a very valuable source for us to know what they meant by the words that they penned and the words that they ratified. And that's very important because people today, and I've discussed this and argued this with professors and so forth, they would like to say that, oh, we can never understand the mind of our founders. We cannot get back to understand what they meant by what they said. We just kind of have to guess at it or make it up as we go along. No, that's wrong. I studied history, and I know that if you go to the source documents, You read the actual words of those who wrote these things and debated these things, and if you understand what their language meant, that is, you get back into their boots and into their shoes, you can definitely understand exactly what they intended by what they wrote on the page. And yet, we're criticized as being originalists. That is, you believe in this theory that we ought to go back. Of course, yes. Yes, we believe that the text of the Constitution is to be followed because it is the supreme law of the land. And we're criticized for following the text of the Constitution. But that's the only safe way that we as citizens could entrust any power to civil government. As I said, our founders believed in the sinful nature, the depravity of human beings. You don't trust anybody with power, particularly power over your life, power over your liberty, power over your property. You wouldn't trust them unless you had a structure that was going to hold them accountable. And that, again, is why we need to know this Constitution. We need to understand it, have a working knowledge of it, understand the background behind it, and understand what it was supposed to accomplish. It's limited, delegated authorities. There's many things that the federal government was not to be involved with, and it was a very limited role that they were to play. It was a larger role than the Articles of Confederation, as we'll see as we walk through the details of the Constitution. But it wasn't an extremely larger role. They just expanded what the Articles of Confederation had developed, but was inadequate in a number of different areas. They expanded it, but they kept the role of the federal government very limited. Think of what Madison wrote in Federalist Papers, the articles that were urging ratification of the Constitution. And he said in the Federalist Papers, 45, and I'm paraphrasing Madison here, he said, "The powers that we've granted to the federal government are very limited, and mostly they deal with externals, that is, war, if war has to be conducted with another country, treaties that have to be conducted, or trade policies that have to take place with other countries. Those are the very limited things, but the greater things, the things that have to do with the life, liberty, and property, those are the realm of the states, not the federal government. That the states have broad-ranging powers, the states have a few limitations, but the federal government has great limitations on its powers. So more power was given to the state governments than to the federal government." And of course, today that whole system has been turned upside down on its head, and the federal government has just about all the power, and the states are just mere political subdivisions with almost no power in practical terms. And yet, if the states were to recover that constitutional vision that our founders had, that understanding of the state's role, the states could still serve as a powerful check upon a federal government way out of control.
All right, you hang on there, David. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this morning's program here at the American Freedom Network.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Your brother has it, your coworkers have it, and your friends have it. You need to get your concealed weapons permit, too. Go to www.theshootingschool.org and sign up now for the NRA basic pistol class to get your Colorado concealed carry permit. Unlike most instructors, we provide you with enough certificates to renew your carry permit for 10 years. Visit theshootingschool.org now to register, or call Senior Instructor Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. That's Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. www.theshootingschool.org.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law.
and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. David, pick up the story.
Well, as the convention met and they began to discover that there was very sharp differences. One of the biggest issues was over the debate over how each state was to be represented in the new government. And there was hostile feelings created by the smaller states being pitted against the larger states, that's in terms of population. And it was so bitter that some delegates actually left the convention. Benjamin Franklin, who was basically the host to the other 55 delegates because it was in his home city there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and being the senior member of the convention, the oldest man there at age 81, he commanded the respect of all present. And James Madison's detailed records talk about the speech he delivered to the convention on Thursday, June 28, 1787. He said, "Mr. President," which was George Washington, "the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks, close attendance and continual reasoning with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many nays as yeas, and methinks it melancholy proof of the imperfection of human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom since we have been running about in search of it. We have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which, having been formed with the seeds of their own dissolution, now no longer exist. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable for our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our partial local interests, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereinafter from this unfortunate instance despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service." There gives you a flavor for what our founders were about. They recognized there is an almighty God, a creator of the universe, who's given us his word, the Bible. And we're having trouble here because we are not praying to him every day. We need to pray before we even begin. And so his motion for calling for prayer, although it wasn't formally adopted, informally many of the men began to meet to pray. And things changed dramatically from that point forward. This motion for prayer helped restore harmony, and progress resumed in the process of the Constitutional Convention, because Franklin understood that they could not proceed, they could not succeed unless they were willing to work according to God's ways and God's law. And so that's the flavor that we need to understand in which our Constitution was ratified and drafted. in contrast with those who today claim, oh, we have a godless constitution, it has nothing to do with Christianity, that is a lie. Christianity is the absolute foundation. These were Christian men. They may not have all been what we would call Orthodox Christian men, but they believed in the Creator God who gave the Bible, and they were seeking to form a government that would follow the wisdom that God had given to us in His Word. Now, some of the rules that they had is that there was only one vote per state. Each state could cast a vote of whatever their majority delegation desired, so each state would take their own vote. When they had determined what the majority was, then they would cast one vote for the convention as a whole, that no delegate could speak more than twice on any issue until all others had spoken. So, you know, provide an opportunity for those who are less vocal, those who might be less likely to stand up and speak. Everybody had an opportunity and was strongly encouraged to speak. And the second speaking twice on a second issue was only permissible by the convention as a whole. Now, most issues that they addressed were resolved by reaching a consensus. There was only a few issues that required a compromise, and those issues were representation in Congress, which was what Franklin's speech there was dealing with, this issue of division over small versus large states and how they were going to be represented. Large states, of course, wanted proportionate representation. Small states wanted equal representation, and Roger Sherman suggested a bicameral Congress, that is, two houses, the House being by representation according to proportionate representation, that is, the larger states would have more representatives in the House of Representatives, but in the Senate, every state would have equal representation. Every state would have two senators, no matter how small or how large. So they resolved this by a compromise, kind of taking a piece of both in how they structured Congress, in a bicameral Congress. Now, the second area that required a compromise was, how do you account for those who are slaves in terms of voting and taxes? Now, of course, the North wanted to count slaves for taxing, but not for voting. And you say, well, that's pretty hypocritical. Let's tax those people, but let's not count them in terms of representation as part of the population when it comes to how many people will be in the House of Representatives in those states. And, of course, the southern states wanted the exact opposite. They wanted the slaves to count in terms of voting, as these were, while not voting citizens, they themselves were residents of the state and therefore should be counted in terms of population and representation in the House of Representatives, but they did not want them counted in terms of taxation. So both sides were at loggerheads here, and the compromise was to count the slaves as three-fifths, and this was not to say that slaves were not persons. It was simply in terms of taxation and
representation. We're out of time, David. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Not just Eros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland takes this time to remind all drivers to drive carefully and cautiously. Drive as though your life depends upon it, because a child's life often does. When you take to the road, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, common sense. Remember, drivers don't drink and drive. Let's keep our children safe from harm. That's from Terry Madigan and her fine family and staff at Not Just Gyros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our conversation with Pastor David Whitney. And I hope many of you out there will decide to take the course yourself, or perhaps certainly get a course and start putting them on. We hope to take America back. We have to build on a foundation, and that foundation is our Constitution. Well, certainly if you want to know more about our Constitution, we have a wonderful book. It's called Betrayed by the Bench, written by John Stormer, and it simply goes into the background of this whole concept of the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to our Constitution, how the Supreme Court, people on the Supreme Court, of course, took God and prayer out of our schools because, of course, they hated God, they hated Christianity. And, of course, to really understand that, you need to get the new DVD we have, The Eye of the Phoenix, which goes into Franklin Roosevelt, who was involved in Satanism. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not only certainly, the occult, but and Masonry, but he was involved in Satanism. He had even sent a crew out to Manly P. Hall's Center in Southern California, the Philosophical Research Society, to make photocopies of all of their records. And Manly P. Hall was a Satanist, hardline Satanist, worshipped Lucifer. And this man, Franklin Roosevelt, the President of the United States, then began appointing Supreme Court justices. When somebody died off, he put in a new one. They were all Masons, and they were placed there to take God and prayer out of our schools. And nobody will tell you that. You need to get the DVD of The Eye of the Phoenix. And it's available along with John Stormer's book, Betrayed by the Bench, by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have so many other things that will help you to understand the satanic nature of what's going on, because we are involved in a spiritual battle. And there really are satanic organizations. And you can go to their website. You can go up to LuciusTrust.org. Read what they have to say about the hierarchy that rules the world. Well, the hierarchy of demonic spirits. And believe me, we're moving very, very close to the breakdown of society that these people tell us is coming. They tell us the financial collapse that's coming is going to usher in their leader, the Maitreya, who will be the world ruler. These things sound so absurd, but understand that nothing going on today makes sense unless you understand there is a supernatural battle taking place. That's why you need to get our four tape set on satanic crimes and the book that goes with that by William H. Kennedy. That's why you need to get our material, certainly on the supernatural, the four tape set on that, and then the book written by Joanna Michelson, The Beautiful Side of Evil. That's why you need to get our book we carry written by a Jesuit scholar. It's called Hostage to the Devil. And the Jesuit scholar was Malachi Martin, and you need to get his four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. We have information you're not going to get elsewhere, which will help you to understand, but certainly my book is The Brotherhood of Darkness is the key. You need to get Brotherhood of Darkness and read it. If you're only going to get one thing, get Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, or you can get it on DVD, or if you can't afford it, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and scroll down, and you can watch the talk from whence the book came. It's there for nothing. Along with our radio programs, you can listen to 9 hours a day for nothing, and read our newsletters for nothing, and watch the section, other videos, where we have all sorts of links to YouTube. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty. for our provision and protection. Until next time, tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.